Okay, welcome everyone. Fabulous to see you all here. My name is Margarita Fabrizio. Can you all hear me? Yes. I'm the director of the TACCON Center, a support and resource center for first-year students. And I've been in the position for 7 years now. It's been an extraordinary experience to watch the growth of these college students. Before that, I worked at another position on campus for almost 20 years. So I've actually been on campus for over 30 years, and it's been just an extraordinary privilege to work closely with these amazing, very fine young people that you are raising. So I really commend you for, you're doing a great job. I would say consistently over the years, Cornell students have just been so kind and good and wonderful. And I have two of them here with me today, Avery and Buma, and they are going to answer some questions for you after I give you my little spiel about TACCON. So, but before we get started, let me just ask, how many of you are here with students who matriculated last year, but they're here on campus the first time? Is anybody, yes? Okay, great, so glad that we're able to pick you up. How about transfer students? Oh, wow, okay, excellent. And the rest of you are here with first year students? Yes, okay, so some of you have been on campus before. Great, so welcome back for you. So I always think that if family members learn about us, that we have a much better chance at getting students to come into the doors. In pre-COVID years, I always had three surefire ways of getting students in the door. One was dogs. One, because they miss their pets so much, right? One is succulents, which I'm a big gardener, but it still surprises me how crazy they are about succulents and how long a line they'll wait in to get a little baby succulent for them to take care of. And the other thing is insomnia cookies, which, despite the fact that they're not homemade, you know, they're very trendy, and they always bring people in. But we've had to modify our strategies a bit with COVID. So you learning about TACCON helps us a lot because you can help them not miss out on what we have to offer. You know, Cornell is a huge, huge place, and they are getting inundated with email. And so if you ask your family members, hey, do you know about the TACCON Center? And they draw a blank stare, I think you should say, check your junk box. And because we do send a weekly e-newsletter, and I don't know, we seem to have a good amount of people, maybe 60% or so that are opening it, but and we're still missing a lot of people. So everything that you do will help, and I thank you for doing that. Okay, so I'm gonna give you a very quick overview, and then we can open it up to questions. So, here's our amazing TAT staff. They're at the heart of our operation, and they really represent a majority of the colleges here at Cornell, and dozens of majors and minors and student organizations, and I have handpicked them, so I can guarantee that they are pretty extraordinary people. They're kind, they're empathetic, they are generous with their time, and they are here at TACCON because they want to help new students have the best possible first year that they can have. And they have gone through it all themselves, so they know the ups and the downs, and they're very eager to share their knowledge. This is very hard to talk with this mask, sorry. we're located really close by to the first year residences in the Robert Purcell Community Center, which is also called RPCC. We have a suite of three rooms with, you can see, like soft kind of living room-like furniture. And we are open at noon and we close at 10 most days. So lots of availability to go to our help desk and ask anything that people might need. Late in the afternoons, we regularly host programs to help introduce first years to opportunities here at Cornell. And the focus of these are usually on academic support and exploration, health and wellness, and career services. We also do social programming to help people meet each other and just to de-stress. So we opened the year this year with a campus walking tour, student panel on all things Cornell, and speed friending sessions. We did a super popular, unexpectedly so, trip to the farmer's market, hosted a time management study skills workshop, and we got our peer tutoring program up and running within the first 2 weeks of classes. We've offered resume reviews and meetups for engineering students. Every year is a bit different, but it's always very diverse and broad-ranging and reflective of our student staff and their colleges and student orientation, personal interests. I try to challenge them and invite them to come up with programming that's appropriate for first years. And that's also about things that they're interested in, right? So that keeps them engaged. So you can find more of what we cover in a typical year on our website, which is techconcenter.cornell.edu. And hopefully you all picked up one of those purple brochures. If not, get one on your way out. So still to come this term, we have more career services related programming. We did something just recently last week on discovering your strengths. We're going to have one soon on exploring majors and careers and on how to use Cornell's massive alumni database called CU eLinks. So this is a really super important thing for first years to learn about sooner rather than later, which is very much what TACCON, you know, strives to do. They can use the database to find mentors and internships and do informational interviews. So let's see, what else do I want to tell you? We also have what historically has been a super popular program coming up on how to get involved in research as an undergrad called Research 101. And we know that so many students come to Cornell wanting to get involved in research like as soon as possible. So this has been really hugely popular. And we're going to cover things like how to explore your research interests, how to reach out to faculty, the kinds of work student researchers do, that sort of stuff. So we partner also with the Learning Strategy Center. We're going to offer another session soon on how to prepare for exams. In the evenings, we host a very robust tutoring program. And these are peer tutors that are available to work one-on-one, and it's free, so it's free help. And, you know, we really, really strongly encourage this here, especially for students who maybe before they came to Cornell, you know, have never had a tutor. You know, we try to put it out there that successful students ask for help, and we really want to make this very easy for them to get it. So having this tutoring at TACCON, which is close to where they live, becomes particularly good and important during the winter months when it's much colder and not so nice at night to go out and walk clear across campus to go see a math tutor, right? So these tutors, I just want to mention one more thing about them. They are trained by each of these other centers across campus. So they're not actually TACCON staff. They're tutors that are coming from the Math Support Center, the Econ Tutoring Center, the Departments of Chemistry and Math, and the Writing Centers. And they all operate tutoring programs in other places on other days with other times. But so they can, you know, they have many options. But this one's like super close to home, basically. And then you can see besides tutoring, we have the TACCON Info Desk. And this is staffed about 50 hours a week. And, you know, our students are available to informally help guide first years. Our motto is ask us anything. And we really mean it. Students can ask everything from, you know, how do you pre-register for courses, to what are the best restaurants downtown, everything in between. We also have pretty nice study spaces and a printer, and this is all very close to home. Then last year, we rolled out this TAP Buddies program, and it's been going pretty well, actually. A lot of students signed up, not everybody followed through, but there is still time for that, and there's also still time to sign up. So this is a more official peer mentoring program, and it's an opportunity to get one-on-one advising about anything, basically. So it could be about managing time better, managing stress, about joining clubs, finding friends, about minors, or maybe about Ithaca. Sometimes it's just an opportunity to talk to an older student who can listen and can help reassure them that, you know, yeah, there are going to be some rough spots, but you're going to get through it, and you deserve to be here, and you belong here. So I would encourage your children or family members to, you know, check this out still and potentially take advantage of this. It's not something like they have to meet all the time, but some of the students are just doing it by email. Others are actually, most of them are just dropping in when the TAT staff buddy is on shift, right? So they connect in that way. Then we have another signature program, Wellness Wednesdays, and this occurs every week. And we really encourage students to take a one-hour study break with us. And, you know, these take a lot of different forms. It could be a game night, a music jam. We've done some movies. We're doing crafts. We've done Zumba. We've done painting workshops. And probably the most fabulous for me was a meditation with live music with a violinist who's on the faculty here who is just, you know, world famous. And we had this very intimate circle of people listening to her play Bach for like 45 minutes straight. And it was just the most extraordinary thing. And these are also really good opportunities for students to make friends and just a good reminder to take a break and to take care of yourself, right? So that's what that's all about. And then we have another signature program, Tat Chat. These are really informal conversations. You saw the first photograph of our sort of living room set up in our reception area. And that's where these take place. And we try to set them up so they're like before dinner time and after dinner time. And they, you know, very broad ranging on the topic. The TAT staff dream up the topics and then they host them. And so just to give you a little, there's a sampling up here of the kinds of things that we've done. But I can tell you this semester what we've done so far. We did one on finding clubs, on how to ace your first college paper, studying for engineering prelims, delicious dining for dietary restrictions, discovering downtown Ithaca, finding mentors, finding the best campus study spaces, staying fit at Cornell, finding performing opportunities on campus, questions about finding research positions. So, you know, these are, this is the most incredible way to fast track your knowledge about this huge campus and the enormous possibilities that are here. You know, it takes a while to get your grounding and really take advantage of everything that's here. And TATCon is really about that. It's about older students, slightly older students, helping younger students, new students, really see what's here. It's a way to kind of, you know, we're like a GPS, right, for them. So it's a way to help filter all this information about so many different programs and so much stuff that's happening here. I would really encourage your family, your students, to come to, you know, just, you just come and you can just stay for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, like on your way to dinner or back from dinner. It's a great opportunity to learn about a lot of different things, very low stress. So yeah, if you can help pass the word on those, that would be great. We are not getting as many people at those as I would like to see, but we're gonna keep at it. So, another way I like to think about TACCON is to think about it as a home base, right? So these students have home bases in their college, sometimes if they have already chosen a major, right? In their major, in their residence halls, in their student organizations or teams. All of these places are sort of grounding places for them. And TACCON is really another one of those. And you know, our staff, obviously, they're not therapists, that's not their role, but they do know about Cornell, and they have figured out how to thrive here. And that's what we're all after, right, is to help these first-year students, whether they're transfer students or people who are in their very first semester of college, to help them have the best possible year that they can have, and to set themselves up in a very good way to take advantage of the next 3 years and everything that is possible for them to do. So, for any students who haven't found us yet, if you can tell them, come visit us. It's not too late. We're gonna be offering programming all year long, so it doesn't just stop after the first semester. TACCON's an extended orientation, and we start after orientation, but we really are going the whole year long. So if they can keep our email out of the junk box, they'll be able to figure out what we're doing and they'll be able to take advantage of it. So I thought what we would do right now is see if maybe you guys have some questions for Buma and Avery, who are both here. Do you guys wanna come up? And maybe also just further introduce yourselves, your college, your major, where you're from. And maybe tell us the thing that you love the most about Cornell. Yeah, sure.
Is this for?
Yeah,
there you go. Hi, everyone. I'm Buma, and I'm a senior in Cal's College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. But I'm an information science major, fashion minor. And I think the thing I love most about Cornell is the fact that the campus, even though there's so many people and it feels like so big in theory, like campus day-to-day activities just feel so intimate. And I love that like there's like this little network of like people on this campus that I know I'm gonna be depending on for the rest of my life, really. But like things like the TACCON Center and like just groups on campus just make it feel way more smaller and intimate than it really is.
Hi everyone, I'm Avery. I'm also a senior in the School of Industrial and Labor Relations. So my major is Industrial and Labor Relations, and I'm also minoring in InfoSci, like Boone's major. I'm from a small town in Connecticut. And I do a lot of volunteering and community service on campus and in the greater Ithaca area. I think my favorite part about Cornell is that as a senior, I'm still making new friends and running into people that I've never met before, and actually making like really great friends who I'm so grateful that I'll be able to sort of like go forward with them in the rest of my Cornell career, but also after, in tune with what Buma said. But there's just a lot of like really amazing people here that I'm excited to be friends with for the rest of my life.
Awesome. Who has questions? You can ask them anything. That's our motto. You must be curious about some aspect of campus life. Yes, in the back.
So I was just going to ask, thank you, by the way, for the presentation.
Yeah, of course. Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's at our center, we have math, chemistry, econ, and writing. But there is tutoring across campus in so many different places. Do you guys want to say a little more about that?
Yeah, our tutoring encompasses that, but we're, like Margarita said, we're connected with so many avenues on campus. So oftentimes when there's not a subject that we offer right in-house, we like have connections with the Learning Strategy Center, the Learning Center, and we can typically point students to that direction. So even though those are our like subjects, like we totally have resources to point people in the right direction if they want that extra help.
The Learning Strategy Center has an amazing website. You should take a peek at that. And there are a lot of also supplemental courses that students can take here. They can do it non-credit or for one credit, right?
Yeah. So there are these classes called AEWs, and essentially what they do is that they're supplemental to like the main class. You can take it for credit, or you can just like really just drop into the classes. I took one for math freshman year because I was in Calc 2 and I had never taken Calc 1. So I took the AEW and it really helped a lot. And I didn't take it for credit. I just sort of came when I needed help.
Yes, you had a question there.
I was going to add on basically with the training, but like, are you tapped into where there's study groups for different classes?
Again, the Learning Strategy Center has, I think, a link on their website for study partners. Yeah, we tried it 1 year at TechCon. It was quite a few years ago now. A lot of people signed up, but they didn't end up actually connecting so much as a group. But and I haven't heard how it's going with Learning Strategy Center. That also goes by LSC. But this is more than this one semester that they've done it, so I think they've been having some good success with it. I know at TechCon, on the nights that we have study groups for two of the math classes, it is pretty crowded, and the math support center, I mean, we'll probably have like 35, 40 people in there during an evening all at one time. So it's even more than that. People come in and go out.
Yeah, and I will say I work all the tutoring shifts that are on Monday and Sunday, and I find that people kind of, they create their own groups, and they sort of branch out, and they like, that's how they sort of find that chemistry of what group works for me. They kind of find their people in tutoring, so I think that's also a platform we facilitate.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Are we never at school for, sixth, whatever, junior year? So I'm wondering, and we're also hearing in the news, there's like a massive mental health crisis in children and adolescents. You know, that's sort of some of the findings. Educationally, some kids have been impacted. Based on the last few months, are you observing any trends that you believe is related to the phenomena that our kids have gone through? Or are you
So I think that in that aspect, that's like such a extremely valid question, and everybody on our staff really does prioritize mental health. Just what I've seen, and maybe Avery, you can attest to this too, because we've worked at the TechCon Center since we were sophomores. I think people did sort of, what I see now in the students that come through the center and just freshmen in general is that people are so eager to be re-engaged into the community and do in-person events, and people just have a fun time going into our space and studying with their friend. Like, I think while all of that did have a strong impact on like all of our psyches and like being away from people, I'm really glad that the reaction has been to, okay, like I really want to be more involved in the community. I want to get help. I want to talk to people. I think this year more than anything, like people have come in for advice, like on like trivial things, like more than any other year that I've worked at the TechCon Center. And I feel like that speaks to the experience that people do want to like be back in and be re-engaged. I think it's just a matter of sort of facilitating that for them and helping them get there.
Yeah, and I think just to add on to that, one great example is we hosted like two different panels like just to kick off the year. So we had a class of 2024 for students who were maybe on campus for the first time or transfer students, and then we also had class of 2025. And then after each student panel, which was run by like Buma and myself and a few other senior TOT staff members, we did speed friending. And that was something that we had struggled with a little bit in the past, to sort of get numbers of people who were willing to come in and just like ask random questions with people, which makes sense. I mean, it's like a little bit of an awkward concept, but you can get like great benefits from it. But after those panels, we had like double or triple or even quadruple the amount of people we expected.
Yeah.
So I think that was like a really great moment for us to see like how willing the students this year are to just go out of their way to meet people compared to those in the past. So definitely the desire for connection and the willingness to put themselves out there.
Yeah, and yeah. I still see some of those people hang out, which is cute.
Yeah, in fact, there were many more of them that came to the speed friending than that actually came to the panel, which the panel had a lot of good information, but anyway, they still made some really good connections. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we probably do one at the beginning of next semester, but it is true that people, you do them a little bit later, and you might only get a couple people who show up. But, you know, we keep reaching out through the TAP Buddies program. I mean, that's another great invitation to people to just like, you know, how great is that to be able to come and meet and have a friend immediately who's a senior or a junior. We do have a few sophomores on our staff this year. But that's a pretty great thing to be able to do. And they help students also understand how they can like network and branch out. You know, these student organizations here are huge. I'm sure you know this already, right? There are over 1,000 student organizations at Cornell. And, you know, they're very extraordinary. And I think one of the most amazing things for me over all these years is to watch how many are mentoring organizations. I think it speaks to my very first point about our students here and the caliber of the students. They are just really kind, generous people. And there are many of these, I mean, I have a list like this long of mentoring organizations here that people can join. And they're older students who are helping younger students. And it's, you know, they do all kinds of like pre-professional sort of programming to help them and share their experiences and their connections and everything else. Do you want to talk about any of the mentoring groups? Are you?
Yeah, I can say, while I don't think I'm, I can't remember right now, but I don't think I'm in any formal mentoring group. A lot of organizations on campus do set up mentoring group, like situations or like organizational like mentoring from within, where it's like you join an organization and then you're assigned essentially a mentor, or like most pre-professional fraternities and sororities call it a big, for lack of a better word. But I find that, because we were in PSP, and we had like bigs as well,
yeah,
too. So it's really helpful. It's a really helpful resource. And you're doing something you care about and like something you're passionate about. And there's also someone to just guide you along the way. I'm on the cheer team and I'm a senior, and we just started this thing called, I don't really remember what my coach calls it, but essentially we take a freshman on the team or a sophomore, and we teach them like all the tricks that we've learned years before, and we sort of showcase that. So it's natural for that to be in every organization, so I would really encourage it.
Yes, in the back. She should check with the Learning Strategy Center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there might even be supplemental courses for that kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah, we just have a selection of tutoring, but there's a lot. I mean, believe me, the resources here are really extraordinary. We just have to get, you know, the students have to ask for help. They have to reach out. And I think, you know, you can be encouraging them to do that in every way, whether it's for tutoring or coming to TechCon or joining clubs, anything else. Yeah. Yes.
You mentioned before that pre-COVID you had a second of the dog.
Yeah.
Are you doing any aspect of that now?
We are doing insomnia cookies. We're going to try. I didn't mention that we've also moved. We were in our old space, which was a wing of a residence hall, the Bulch Hall. We were there for almost 20 years, and that building is going to be renovated over the next 3 years, or maybe 4 years at the rate we're going with it. Right now, it's serving as the COVID sort of isolation place. You guys might know that already. Hopefully none of your children have had to go there. But so that space was much bigger. So we've had to kind of amend a bit what we're doing to ensure that we don't have mobs of people. You could get like 70 people show up to, you know, roll around with 5 or 6 dogs. And that's very close contact. So we haven't, my staff has, believe me, has been begging me for weeks, could we please have dogs? So I'm gonna have to at least get some dogs to come to one of our staff meetings. But if we get any good days still coming up, I was thinking of trying to do one outdoors. And then we do have insomnia cookies, a cookie night coming up, and we'll have to try to organize that carefully because that will be a very big group of people. But there's, you know, there are a lot of prelims. I'm sure you've been hearing about that. It seems like every couple days there are a zillion prelims. I can't even believe how many there are here. But on the 16th of November is a particularly big prelim night. And so we chose that one to do some insomnia cookies. So yes, we are still trying to do some modified versions. Yeah.
More of the student, you know, how would you say it was different your first semester year to the others that you grew up? Because I found my daughter, you know, just talking to her, she's had a lot of classes, had a really good involvement in some of the clubs because there's so much to happen so fast, and didn't know what to do. How was your experience? How did you get involved throughout your career, or did you get involved early on?
Yeah, so I can definitely start, and then Buma can share her experience. But I would say I think the semester where I got involved most or put myself out there most was probably my freshman spring, so second semester, just because when you first come on campus, like I had no idea what to expect. I don't actually have any like older siblings, so I didn't really know what college was even like. So I was figuring that out myself, and I also took a lighter course load, partially because my major allowed it, but also partially because I had heard from older students to do that. And then once I sort of felt more acclimated, more comfortable, got into a routine, I definitely started looking into joining clubs. Some of the clubs that I joined that semester I'm no longer in, some I'm like a student leader in. So definitely just joining what I like found an interest in and then figuring out from there which I actually felt more passionate about once I was in it and once I was either enjoying my time or felt that I could sort of put my time elsewhere to get the most out of it. But yeah, I'm not sure if it was the same.
Yeah. I would definitely say I was also in the same boat, had no idea what college was like whatsoever. And I'm also first gen, so like my parents went to school in Cameroon and college there, so I've never really experienced that. Mind you, I think that made me really, really reserved going into like freshman year. I joined clubs and things like that, but nothing really stuck until I changed my major sophomore year. And I think like that is to attest to the fact that like it's just never ever too late to join a club or an organization that like you're really proud of. And I think like I started like really getting into my clubs like junior year during like when we had a lot more COVID restrictions and everything was online. And I had that opportunity to like still get engaged, and like even now I would say like seniors, I've seen seniors like join clubs, and while I was really scared to put myself out there like that first semester, I do feel established in my network, and I'm really proud of like the organizations that I'm a part of. I think there's a point to make of also not overextending yourself when it comes to clubs. I think like most people are happy when they have like one to three is even a stretch, but 1 to 2 organizations that they feel really passionately about and like they consistently work with and like sort of do everything with. So yeah,
I think the 1 to 3 is a good point to make, Buma, because what I've noticed over the years is that if it was just coursework that these students were doing, hey, this would be kind of like a breeze, right? What happens is they get overextended with all of the extracurricular activities, which are all amazing, and they do add to their life in so many ways. I mean, it's not just about fun and socialization. You know, a lot of these clubs, I mean, they're really seriously helping them prepare for their future careers and just helping them grow and take positions of leadership. And, you know, they're really significant things for them to do. But it is very easy for them to overextend. And that's what makes it really challenging. Yes, you agree with that?
Yeah. I speak from personal experience as somebody who constantly overextends herself. But I think I'm a lot better now, and I'm pouring all my love into the few orgs that I have like leadership positions in and like sort of making that what it is.
Yeah.
Can you unpack more about how you manage your time? I keep asking myself, like, go to the Tapping Center, and it's like, I don't have time. I'm studying all the time. I just want to do a sport, and this is how she has the time. So, how do you manage?
Yeah, I mean.
Are there any lessons that you can take, like, don't do this?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's different for everyone. I found that. How do I manage my time? That's a good question. I think like when I like look at what I prioritize, so for example, like a sport, that's a great way to sort of like stay athletic, gain a community, like that to me seems like a very productive use of time. So it can be about reallocation, but also like I take a lot of time for reflection and sort of just like looking at how I do spend my time. I find a lot of it I'm just like spending it on my phone or in ways that like everybody does. And not that that's a bad thing, like it's really important to take breaks from school, and I do feel like frazzled a lot, but like I find that when I like put that towards something else, so going for a walk, and I can sort of like multitask while doing that, or just like taking a break in general, like reading a book, because I like to read and I find joy in that, has been really helpful. I think when I reflect on my semesters, sometimes I'm like constantly busy. Like this semester, I feel that I'm like always doing something, I'm always thinking about the next assignment, and it's really hard to get out of that mindset just because it's sort of like being afraid of something that's like coming up, but you don't really need to worry about right now. Yeah, it's definitely, I found in my experience at least, that it sort of like ebbs and flows how I deal with time. But as for, sort of like lessons, I think taking time and making sure that even if you feel overwhelmed, that you take time for yourself. And like for me, I like to go to the gym. And I'm always like, I don't have time to go to the gym. Like I can't make it, like I have to do schoolwork. But when I take the 30 minutes to go to the gym, I feel a lot better and more like in control of what's going on. So I would say definitely still prioritizing things that may not be school but may still be important is helpful.
Yeah, 100%. And I also think with time management, because it's so different for everybody, it does require a degree of self-awareness and like self-reflection and being honest with yourself and prioritizing, like Avery said, like what is important to you and how do you carve out time for that so you feel like you're still in control. Because I think a lot of students like get stressed out and they're like, oh, like I can't, like my life is everywhere, I can't control this, but like really setting aside time for yourself just grounds you so much more.
And I'll just put in another plug for the Learning Strategy Center. They have study skills peer tutors, and that's the kind of workshop that they do all the time. They're really good at it, and they have also a lot of materials, good materials on their website about time management. And that's, you know, one of the biggest challenges. I mean, maybe it is the biggest challenge for a first-year student, really. So different from their high school experience. So it really takes a while for them to get that down, but you'll see huge changes even by the second semester. It's pretty extraordinary how much growth happens so quickly. Did anybody have any other questions? Yes. Yeah. Isn't it typically about the third week?
Yeah, yeah. So they host like something called a club fest, which is every semester. So it happened this semester, it'll also happen next semester, and that's like pretty early on, maybe the second or third week of being on campus. But that's sort of like when you go into Barton Hall, which is like one of the biggest buildings on campus, and each organization has like a booth, and you can put your email down, you can like learn about them. So it's a great way to sort of learn about clubs that you might not know about otherwise. So there's just like a simple sign up process when you're there. As for any sort of sport, I think that happens the club sports happen. Usually they have a booth too, I believe.
Yeah.
But intramural sports, so that's another thing where you can like get a group of friends or just like meet people. That's a bit of a different process, so that would be like checking the website, which would just be like intramural sports at Cornell, and you can find out like the different deadlines for each sport and sort of like how you go about that. But you would just sort of like focus on joining a new organization in the first few weeks of next semester. There's not usually anything to do at the moment, I don't think.
Yeah, and I checked, and it usually happens around the first week of February. But yeah, I don't think Cornell has officially released the date for that yet.
Question over here. Yep.
I would say mine was probably imposter syndrome. I definitely felt like I did not belong at Cornell, especially after I changed my major from I was biology pre-law to information science. And so that was a huge switch for me, and I hopped into all these like computer science classes where like everybody had been coding for years, and I definitely experienced like a huge, I guess, like gap in like my understanding of things freshman year, just because I really didn't feel like Cornell was for me, and I like was really not taking risks for myself, and I wasn't challenging myself, and I don't think I was necessarily in a place where I was like, oh yeah, like I can do it. And I honestly think that all just got better with just me being unafraid to like reach out and ask for help. And I just learned that like failure and like getting a bad grade on the prelim is not the end of the world. And the best place to be to grow as a student is rock bottom, because you just have so much to prove. And I think that like just reaching out to my professors and like creating a network of people who are able to support me and talking to my advisor, it just really helped me sort of get out of that mindset and celebrate the little accomplishes I had and celebrate myself. So yeah, I think that's probably the toughest thing.
I would probably say mine's a bit similar to Buma's, but I think just with, like, not a lack of confidence, but just not having as much confidence as I do now. I think like you get to Cornell, or your family member gets to Cornell, and it's still hard here. You still have to prove yourself, or at least you feel that you do. There's still clubs that are selective. So it's like, yeah, you're here, but there's other things that you sort of like feel that you have to navigate. And kind of going off Buma's point, like it can sort of knock you down a few notches if you don't get into a club or you don't do well in a class. So I think the biggest thing for me was just not having enough confidence to even like go to office hours. Like I found those so helpful. Like I went to my professor Thursday morning and I said, I'm a senior, I'm getting nostalgic, I have no questions about the class, but I would just love to meet you and like learn about who you are like as a person and your background. And I sat with her for 45 minutes yesterday, and we just talked about like nothing. But it was great, and I would definitely recommend just putting yourself out there. And like, even I'm sitting outside the room, like waiting to go in, and I'm like, oh, like I don't want to like disturb her. Do I knock? Do I wait? Like things like that. But then just getting the confidence to go in and like make the most of it. So I think, yeah, the more you put yourself out there, the more confident you'll become. Like I think if I looked at myself 4 years ago, I would never be standing up here, whatever. So I think that's the biggest thing, and I was able to find that from putting myself out there, because in high school, like I never, like the classes are small. My high school was small, so you know everyone. I didn't have to like talk in class, so then that was like a big adjustment for me, and now I'm like willing to talk in class and willing to share my ideas. So I think the more that you can emphasize just to like put yourself out there, because everyone's in the same boat. It's not like anyone here has all the answers. or is going to say all the right things all the time. So I think that's the biggest learning experience and the biggest way to boost confidence.
Thank you. Okay, one more question. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank you for coming.
Yeah, so you can see two amazing people, of this, like, this is our whole staff. So this is the kind of stuff that you can, students can get from these students who are on the staff. Every year, I usually ask the seniors for maybe like a five things that they wish they'd known as first-year students. So I'm just going to read a couple of these because I think they're kind of fun. They're kind of fun to hear. There is always, in caps, in parentheses, always slush on the ground in winter. Do not, I repeat, do not skip in the winter. Yeah. Experiencing early morning and sunset on the slope is absolutely magical, especially in fall. Oops. Career services is a real thing that could have helped me learn how to write a cover letter and get an internship. There is more in me than I thought I knew. Your first year seems endless and daunting, but you are more incredible and capable and resilient than you think you are. And a few more. Don't stress about the small stuff. If things don't go exactly your way, remember that it happens to everyone and everyone gets through it. If you realize that and don't treat every small mistake like it's life or death, you will be a lot happier. And then to echo Avery, go to professor's office hours. It's scary at first, but if you force yourself to do it, then you start to form a relationship with the teacher, which can lead to all kinds of cool opportunities. How about this last one? Find the balance and take time for yourself. Again, echoing what they've said. Sports, clubs, homework, friends. There are a lot of things to juggle while being a student, and it just gets harder in college. Make sure to prioritize and don't overburden yourself. When you feel like you are drowning, take a step back and reevaluate what you are doing and what you can cut back on to make work a little more manageable. So, thank you so much for being here and learning about TACCON, and I again thank you in advance for encouraging your students to check us out and come and take advantage of everything that we offer. And I hope that you are finding your family members thriving and that you're going to have a super fun weekend. I think it's supposed to clear up a little bit later. Thank you for coming.
Have a great rest of your family weekend.
Thank you.